This is Natalie Hutchison with UN News. It's time to demystify what we know about artificial intelligence, or AI, and monitor its development so it's consistent with human rights and fosters healthy freedom of expression. That's the view of David Kay, UN Special Rapporteur on the Enjoyment of Freedom of Opinion and Expression, who detailed the relationship between the right to expression and technology in a statement to the General Assembly on Monday. The expert also told UN News that he's deeply concerned about increasing pressure on journalists, referencing the recent disappearance of Saudi dissident columnist Jamal Khashoggi. He said digital technologies like AI and spyware needed to also safeguard individuals' privacy and security. Mr. Kay explained to Mao Zhili how these tools can be vital to freedom of expression and opinion in the broader spectrum.
I think that it's very clearly a difficult year for freedom of expression in particular. And when I think about freedom of expression and where we see the highest profile kinds of threats, I think it's attacks on journalists and others who are sharing information, whether it's online or offline. As is obvious, meeting at a time where we've just learned some of the details, at least through leaks from the Turkish government, about the killing of a journalist, a very prominent Saudi journalist, and it appears at the hands of the Saudi government he was killed. And although our focus, or much of the international community, has been focused on that, I think that it's emblematic of a broad kind of attack on freedom of information, access to information, journalism, reporting. It's encapsulated in Donald Trump's language about the press being the enemy of the people. So I'm really deeply concerned about the rise in pressure on journalists and just what that suggests about our ability to sustain democratic institutions when we have such pressure on those people who are simply trying to report what they see as facts.
You've expressed the concern over the continuing pressure on the tools of digital security, mm-hmm. namely encryption, anonymity, mm-hmm. in laws. So how do we understand about this particular pressure?
This is true. So it's in some ways it's actually related to the pressure on journalists, but it's also a broader pressure. So one thing that we've seen over the last several years is kind of increasing pressure on the ability of individuals to maintain security for themselves online. So some of that is not exactly human rights. So you think about the release of although it could be information, for example, that you share with your doctor, right? That might be insecure at one level or another, and somebody wants to use that for financial purposes. But I think the broader problems that we're seeing are about the right to privacy and the right to expression and the right to hold opinions without interference. And we're seeing increasingly that states are saying largely to companies in the internet field that they don't want them to enable tools like encryption or anonymity. And what that's doing is putting pressure not just on the companies, but it's putting pressure on individuals who are trying to carve out a zone of privacy, whether it's to talk about issues with their family, with the spouse, with their friends, or it's issues around perhaps their sexuality or their personal connections, their heritage, their religious belief, or about their politics. And in a space that's governed by rule of law in democratic societies, we expect there to be that kind of room for real robust debate. Of course, that doesn't include incitement to violence or conspiring to commit criminal activity such as terrorism, but it does include those kinds of private and expressive spaces that are under pressure from governments as a matter of law, as a matter of policy, and as a matter of simply pressure on the companies that's extra legal.
You dedicated the whole report to the role of artificial intelligence, mm-hmm. or AI. Mm-hmm. and the enjoyment of freedom of expression and opinion. Why? And can you elaborate a little bit of this correlation between AI and the freedom of expression and opinion?
I think quite clearly it's evident to everybody that the internet has become a, if not the, central place for the sharing of information for billions of people worldwide. So I've done reports that kind of map that sector. I've done a report on internet shutdowns and other forms of government pressure on this industry. And I felt that, and actually my last report was on how social media and search companies regulate expression on their platforms. I felt that artificial intelligence or automation or algorithms, whatever we want to call this area of kind of machine involvement in regulating expression, that it's really important to do a couple of things. And this is why I chose this as an area to report. So one is we need to demystify it. There are some parts of artificial intelligence and automation that could be very productive and constructive aspects for the development of freedom of expression, right? So, and you could think of it in terms of, I'm going to use a non-freedom of expression example, right? So let's say you're crossing a border, an international border. If you're coming into a particular country and the border guards look at you, they're very susceptible to profiling on the basis of your race, maybe on the basis of your religion, if that's obvious, maybe on the basis of something that strikes them about your looks. That is highly susceptible to discrimination. However, if you have automation and AI, those kinds of tools, in a way, take away some of, at least in principle, they may take away some of that discriminatory approach that we as humans just naturally have, whether we want to discriminate or not. It's sort of the implicit bias that might be involved. So there are positive things, and I think it's important to highlight what might be positive about AI. But at the same time, AI builds in discrimination. It is not transparent to people. It can lead to all sorts of forms of abuse that might be inconsistent with human rights norms. So in this, which I think of as an initial report on the subject, what I try to do is say, this is what AI is, so that we have a common language, at least in the human rights community and among diplomats and lawyers and governments, as to what AI actually is, and then address a few different areas where it's important that AI be on a kind of safe path for human rights. So that can mean transparency in terms of what they're doing, accountability for different kinds of AI tools, those kinds of things. And that's what the report is really trying to do, is to highlight the ways in which both companies and governments can ensure that as AI develops, it develops in a way that's consistent with human rights.
As you indicate, your next report is about commercial spyware mm-hmm. and their abusive use yep. of by the governments in mm-hmm. other parts of the world. So can you give us a little preview mm-hmm. of all this, of all what is this all about?
Yeah, absolutely. So you know, it's been a big discussion, certainly since the revelations of Edward Snowden now 5 years ago, over 5 years ago, that spying by governments has, to a certain extent, gotten out of control, that we live in this, what some people call a golden age of surveillance. And there was, I think, a tendency to think of that kind of surveillance as available only to the big countries, right? The United States and its intelligence partners, the Five Eyes, China, Russia, other big states. I think one thing that we've seen over the last several years is because of the relative inexpensive cost of commercial spyware, that we've seen a kind of democratization, if you will, of spyware. And so the question is, when we see the spread of commercial spyware that can be abused, it's abused by many countries around the world to spy on journalists, on activists, on ordinary citizens in their communications, there are a few questions around that. So one is the normative question. What should the rules be for the use of these kinds of tools? And a second order question is, what should be the restrictions on their export? Because most of these tools are coming from the developed world, and they're being spread across the developed and the developing world. So how do we think about those? And what the report will try to do, and it's really too early to give you much more of a preview than this, what the report will try to do is say, here's the problem, and here's some of the ways that we might think about constraining the spread of these tools.